As I think about our message, that song, A Child of the King. You know, we've all, if we have this commandment, the fifth commandment is addressed to children. But what a blessing it is to be a child of the King. And that's what really is something that we need to focus on as well. And we'll deal with a little bit of that. But we'd like to turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, as our text. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, the first four commandments are what's called the first table of the law. That has to do with our relationship with God. And of course, that's where the greatest commandment, to love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, is based upon. The second table of the law begins with this fifth commandment. And of course, that part is love thy neighbor as thyself. It has to do with our relationship, the second table of the law, our relationships one with another and our dealings with one another. And so, a person who diligently seeks to obey the first table of the law will really automatically seek to obey the second table of the law, because the first table is the foundation, if you will. And but you know, there's other things about this law. Really, if you keep this fifth commandment, you're going to be one who, if you're one who's seeking your best to keep this commandment, then you are more likely to be keeping the other commandments as well. There's a good reason why this is the first of the commandments of the second table of the law. In fact, you can tell a lot about someone as to how they do or do not honor their father and their mother. Now, we understand, we're sinners, and before we were saved, we quite likely were not very good at honoring our father and our mother, possibly. And God saves us out of that, and in saving, He changes us to where we now want to and seek to honor our father and our mother. And, you know, the other thing, just for the young people, I would, if I was courting somebody, I would not court someone based on what I know now. I would not court somebody who didn't honor their father and their mother. Don't marry such a person, because if they're not respectful to their own mom and dad, they're not going to be respectful toward you. It's not going to be a good thing. Usually, I understand God saves, God can change people and everything, but don't go into that relation to a relationship with that person, knowing that that's the way they are. In fact, I will be very careful with my dealings with such a person because of the fact they don't even honor their own flesh and blood, their own parents. That says a lot about someone's character. So people say that Christians try to cram legislation down their throats because we're trying to legislate morality and what is a family and all that. Well, the world is trying to cram their philosophy down our throats. They're trying to redefine what a family is. Who's going to live and who's going to die? When you can pray and when you can't pray, and where you can pray and where you can't pray. I'd say they're the ones that are being hypocrites. They're pointing their finger at Christians when in reality they have a whole lot of fingers pointing back at them. It is important. The family is important. And the nation that does not align themselves and harmonize with the Word of God is doomed for destruction and trouble. Our culture is trying to remake society in its own image. But God gave us families for a reason, a good reason. And we need to pay attention to our Creator who created that family as to these matters. And one of them that we find is here in the fifth commandment. One of the reasons why our society is so messed up today is a total disregard to this commandment. The youth are dishonoring their parents. I'm not saying all of them. Praise God for the ones that we got in the church here. But I'm just saying, by and large, the youth are dishonoring their parents and anything that represents authority at all. That's, you know, and it stands to reason. If you disrespect your parents, you will disrespect all other kind of authority. That's just what will happen. And of course, that brings chaos. It brings destruction. Which is exactly what totalitarian governments do. They use these kids who don't know any better, they don't understand that they're being used by these governments to create diversion, distraction, and destruction. They don't even understand that they're just being used by them. And then all of a sudden, their freedoms are gone. It's like, what happened? Well, they prey on the youth who don't have the experience and understand these things. And it's a common strategy by wicked governments. It reminds me of a video I saw recently where three Marines were attacked by about 40 high school students and beat them up and beat them down. Because they were saying, let's settle down a little bit. That was the response. It's totally out of control. The sad thing is, little and maybe nothing will be done to properly punish these people. Again, this is what's going on in our country, but Judgment Day is coming. And I hope and pray rather, though, that these children will repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ for their Lord and Savior and believe the gospel. But I want to begin by saying that I, again, am so thankful for the children here at this church. They are loved in this church and, of course, loved by this church and of course, loved by their parents. Children, your parents love you more than anybody else in the world. And you know, that's for a Christian parent, that's so true. We just don't, you don't understand. There's so many families that don't have that. Their parents don't care about the kids. So think about that, Olivia and Noah. Your parents love you more than anybody else in the world. Not everybody can say that. And that just really is something you need to think about. They care about you more than anybody. And so they deserve the honor and respect. Now, when we're younger, it's I guess, for lack of a better phrase, it's a little easier. But as teenage years come along, oh boy, yeah, it gets a little more challenging on a number of fronts. But anyway, the bottom line is honor them. Have the habit of honoring them now. You are a gift from God, a precious gift from God to your family and to this church. You're a heritage of the Lord, the children. And Jesus spoke very lovingly about and towards children. And that's the example we want to follow in this message, is a loving approach to this commandment. We're not here to crack the whip or anything like that. But there is a definite, firm position we need to take, obviously. But it needs to be done in love. So we want to look at three things this evening. Number one, we look at the principle. That is the, what is it that I'm speaking of here? What is the principle? What is the fact? What is the foundation of this whole thing? What does it mean? Okay? So we have the principle, number one. Number two, we have the parents. And number three, we have the promise. So let's look first of all at the principles. The principle here, the general principle we see in Romans 13:7. Romans 13:7 says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." It's a general principle. We are to honor those who are over us, whether it's a governmental leader, a police officer, or, you know, a military officer, or our parents, or even the pastor, or a preacher, or an adult. You know, in the case of children and or younger people, to the elderly, and so on. It's a principle. We ought to honor them. In fact, the Bible says honor all men. So, but we find that this commandment is important in the way that it's repeated over and over again. We see in Deuteronomy 5:16, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." We see it's repeated again in the New Testament. Jesus mentions it in Mark 7, verse 9, and he said unto them full well, speaking of the religious leaders, "Ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban," that is to say, a gift. In other words, when they're trying, a child should help their parents when they get older and ailing and so forth. But if they give it to the temple as a gift to God, then it's okay. You don't have to. You're relieved that of that responsibility. But, you know, so Jesus says in response to that, "By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So it was something that Jesus emphasized. We see Paul emphasize this commandment and really reiterates the importance and the scope of this commandment in Colossians 3:20. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." And then again, Ephesians 6:1-2, "Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." What a great world it would be. A family where there's harmony, people respecting each other, and no fussing and fighting. That is a recipe for peace and enjoyment. It's a good commandment. It is right, is what Ephesians says in chapter 6. You can think about your neighborhood. You can think about all kinds. Let's just say a soccer team and everybody respected their parents, respected the coach and all that. It would be a great, and respected the referee. I mean, it just goes all the way across the board as an enjoyable time, a peaceful time. It is right. It's right for our country. It's right for the church. It's right for our families. It's right for the parents. It's right for you, children. You'll do yourself good if you would obey this command. But what does it mean to honor your parents in addition to obeying them? Well, it means to esteem your father and mother highly, to respect them fully from your heart, soul, mind, and with all your strength. That's what it means. Not just grudgingly, oh, I'll go ahead and do it. Or I'll procrastinate and wait and wait and I do what I want to do. That's what it means to do this is to obey gladly, obey fully, and to obey immediately. And it's got to be, of course, in the heart, you know, with all your heart. That's what this means. It's real that way. Because if you do it with a sinful heart, it's not real. You're being hypocritical. We find there's again, whether it's cleaning your room or doing your schoolwork or doing your chores or going to bed when you're supposed to go to bed, you know, all kinds of things we could list over and over and over again. Leviticus says in chapter 19, verse 3, "You shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." What does that mean, fear? Fear means to have a reverential fear, a respectful fear toward the parents. You ought to be scared because, in one sense, because God's going to hold you accountable for this. We see then Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." Well, this is, again, all based upon the Word of God. The father is the head of the home, and the mother is to be in subjection and in harmony, as long as, again, it's all in harmony with the Word of God, and the children are to do as well. Look at this. You have an opportunity as children. "A wise son," in Proverbs 15:20, "maketh a glad father." Don't you like to put a smile on your dad's face? Well, most children do, especially when they're younger. Here's an opportunity. When you're wise, and being wise means you obey, and you do it with this gladness and with this immediacy and with the right heart and doing it fully. But a foolish man despiseth his mother. That's what you're doing. Whether you realize it or not, God's word says you're despising your mother when you dishonor them. And there's many things I could mention in Proverbs 19:26, Proverbs 20:20, Proverbs 28:24 about how bad it is. And Proverbs 30:11 says, "There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother." We have that today, sadly. But disobeying this command is, as I alluded to before, is a sign of a society that it's on its way to captivity and destruction. Micah the prophet wrote about Israel in their time. The minor prophets spoke, a lot of them, just before the captivity of Israel and Judah. And in Micah 7:6 it says, "For the son dishonoreth the father, and the daughter rises up against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own house." We see that so often today. I could give you loads and loads of examples of that. And the last days. Now, last days, we understand, is ever since from the time of the resurrection. All right, that's the last days. But it goes all the way into the last of the last days if you read the entirety of Matthew chapter 10. But in Matthew 10:21 it says, "And brother shall deliver a brother to death, and a father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death." It's a sign that the last days are going to be unsettling times. It's not going to be a good time. And so disobeying parents and dishonoring parents is you're going to be part of the problem, not part of the solution. I mean, think about it. Look at all what they're doing for you, what they've done for you, fed you, clothed you, given you so many things you don't even really need, above and beyond. And what they're going to do for you, you know, it's just amazing. And it's really hard for you to understand as children when you're younger. You really begin to understand when you have a family and you start trying to make it on your own. And, oh, man, I got to pay the rent and I got to pay this and I got to pay, you know, all these bills. And I got to get some clothes. These are wearing out. And you find out, wow, mom and dad did a lot of stuff for me. I need to be thankful for what they have done for me. And I need to say I'm sorry for the times I didn't. But maybe if you would honor them now, you wouldn't have these regrets. To not honor them is the height of ingratitude. And God will visit you with his judgment of hell. Honor your parents with honorable actions. Now listen to this, kids. Volunteer to do something for your parents without them even asking you to do it. That would be a blessing. That'd put a smile on their faces. Of course, you might have to get permission because sometimes we can get overzealous and we can do something maybe that you may have a good intention, but it wasn't quite the right thing to do. But just that attitude. What a blessing. That's how you can honor your father and your mother. It says there in Proverbs 31:28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Do you call your mother and your dad blessed? You rise up and say, you are great. You're a blessing. Thank you for all that you've done. That's what we are to do as children. No matter what mistakes they've made in the past, guess what? When you get older, you will make mistakes. And then you won't be sitting so high and mighty looking down at your parents because they messed up once or a few times. So think about that. But then now, secondly, you can breathe a sigh of relief, children, whether you're on the phone listening or whether you're otherwise. Let's move to the parents. We see the principle of what it means. Now let's look at the parents. As parents, we need to help our children honor us as we should. In other words, what a blessing it is if we can make it easier for them to honor us. Now, it doesn't matter. Either way, the child is responsible to honor their parents. But as parents, that we know things and we're in an advantage where we can help our children honor us as parents if we live honorable lives before them. I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. The children aren't perfect. But, and we cannot guarantee the way that our children will turn out. There in Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he shall not depart from it. It's a principle. In other words, we can't guarantee that our children, I believe that what that means is that they're never going to be able to get away from it in their mind because God's word has been planted there. But bottom line is we have to do what we can to use the means that God uses. It's just like preaching the gospel. That doesn't mean they're automatically going to believe. But there's a principle. It's a means that God uses to bring people to faith in Christ. You know, sometimes as parents we can, and I say we, because I know by experience that we can we want to be the best example that we can be, and sometimes we go to the point that where we are wanting to present ourselves as perfect before our children. Well, we're not perfect. We're not. They're not interested on how our phony perfection. They're not interested in that. They're interested in how genuine we are. And when we do sin, how do we respond to that? Are we humble? Do we ask for forgiveness? Those are the things that will make an impact in the children's lives. They'll learn a whole lot more on how we handle our failures and our problems. They'll learn a whole lot more if we do it rightly than if we're trying to pretend that we're perfect when we're not. And believe me, as they get older, as teenagers, they'll figure it out. They might think you're perfect when they're younger, but when they get to be teenagers, it'll be a whole different story. But so how do we encourage our children? Well, the first of all, it's very obvious. Love your children. Love them. And what does that mean? And again, it's what they need, not what they want. When you love them, you don't give them everything they want. You give them what they need. That's the thing that has to be the at the forefront. And what is that? What is it that they need? They need limitations. They need limitations. They need restrictions that are according to the Word of God. I mean, even God gave restriction to Adam and Eve. Gave them a lot of things, but He gave them restrictions as well. On the, you know, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said to Eli the priest there in 1 Samuel 3 in verse 13, this is what happens when you don't have these limitations and enforce them as you should. For I have told him, God speaking, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Eli knew about his sons and what they were doing, the sin that we're committing. Because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Now that's a surefire recipe for a disaster. The limits and restrictions that we as parents put on children will be tested time and time again. They got a sinful nature, okay? And they're going to try you, and they're going to try to push the limits. But we need to stand our ground firmly and lovingly. And when we don't have limitations, then that, you know, because it may seem easier to say, oh, just let them do whatever they want to do, then I can do what I want to do. Well, you know what happens eventually as a child figures out? They don't really care about me. That's what it says. That's what it speaks in their hearts. And we love our children not only by limitation, but by disciplining them. At times in their disobedience, disciplining them to the point to where they don't want to do that again. I'm not talking about a little slap on the wrist. That don't cut it. I'm not talking about abuse either. And scarring them for life or crippling them or any kind of such nonsense. It says there in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth. Let that sink in. You spare the rod. If you don't spank your children, you're hating your children. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. What has this lack of discipline done for the youth today? It's made them just incorrigible, made them rebellious, and made their lives a mess with drug abuse and all kinds of other things we could name. But then how else do we make it easier for our children to obey this fifth commandment? Hug your children. Hug your children. Being the tough guy and not showing affection is not the way to go. Okay? That is not making them tough. I mean, I understand. Guys especially, we want our children to be tough because it's a tough world. Okay? And it may be the thing that, you know, I really care about. I don't want you to have a meltdown for every little thing that happens. I want to be able to be strong and deal with it and get through life and enjoy life. And I understand that, but we have to be careful that we don't go so far that we don't show affection. We should hug. We see that in the Bible, even with grown children. It says there in Luke 15:20, and he arose and came to his father, the prodigal son, to his father. But when he was a great while way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, I don't know about kissing, but anyway, that's not much in this culture. But, you know, he fell on his neck. I mean, he gave him a big hug. We ought to do that. A lot of people think hugging has something to do with immorality. It's not. That Hollywood has made us think that's all connected that way. And to get them away from the wrong idea behind all that kind of stuff is to hug your children affectionately, often, even playfully. You know, when a teenage boy, even when he doesn't act like, even if he acts like he doesn't want it, he does. I remember one time our son, they lost the football game championship, and I put my arm around him. And, you know, I said, it's okay. It's just a game. I know what it feels like. But you did your best, and that's what really counts. Give them a hug. Put your arm around them. Show affection. That's loving them. And children need to see their parents hugging each other too. That says something as well. But then also we can show our love to our children by blessing our children. That we would take them up in our arms and we bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like it says there in Numbers 6:23, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, oh, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You ever blessed your children in their presence? It'll stay with them. If they want, and you're praying for their blessing. And then comfort your children. Don't laugh when some toy that breaks of theirs, or some lizard or snake or pet snake or whatever dies. Console them and comfort them. And, you know, say that, you know, I understand. I hope you'll feel better. Dry their tears away. Even in grown children, need comfort. And then listen to your children. We have to listen to them. We sometimes think we're listening, but we want to hurry up, especially us guys. We want to fix the problem. This is what you need to do. How we need to just let them voice out whatever it is that's bothering them. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just say nothing. We need, especially as they get older, that they talk. And if they are getting too respectful, look, don't do it that way. I want to hear what you got to say, but do it respectfully. Okay? And they, because that's the right thing to do. Again, they need to know that dad and mom love them regardless. of the changes they're going through and all the different challenges that they have in different stages of life. And then you love your children by praying for your children. Praying for them and praying for them some more. To get on your knees and pray for every one of your children, every one of your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. That's one of the most loving things you can do, is bring them before the throne of grace, that God would bless them and help them. And then encourage your children. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. In other words, don't discourage them. Encourage them. You know, encouragement is something a little different than praise. Praise is just, you're catching them doing something good. What they do. And we should look for opportunities. Because, you know, I don't know what it is, but we're you know, everything's going good. And we got that a lot of times just in dealing with people in general. We're looking for the bad and we want to address that. What about the good that we see? That's what we need to look for, the good. And parents to children, we need to point out the good. Otherwise, they're going to think, though it may not really be true, that all you're doing is being negative toward me. Be positive as possible. And then the other way we can show love is to lead our children. Train up a child which way should go. This, there in Proverbs 6:22-6, as I mentioned before, when he's old, do not depart from it. We got to train them to lead them, lead by our example, how we live our lives. To these days, people emphasize grades and scholarships and sports and all these things, popularity. They don't care about character. We need to care about character more than those other things. Be more concerned about character than someone's talent. To want to train them by our example and by the way we run our families, of contentment and courage and courtesy and discernment and fairness and friendliness and generosity and gentleness and kindness and obedience and orderliness, being orderly and patience and persistence and self-control and tactfulness and thankfulness and thriftiness and wisdom, and the list goes on and on of things that children can be trained in. Moms and dads, we are to teach them these things. And then we need to have a good time with our children. To be able to laugh with our children. I know, again, I'm speaking of a guy. A lot of times we are more duty-oriented than people-oriented. And a lot of times women are more people-oriented than duty-oriented. And we got to get these things done. Yes, we do. But if we can't do it with a smile on our face, we're missing out. Now, I'm not saying we're always going to have a smile. I'm just saying, if you have a problem with that, be mindful of that. A merry heart, what? Works like a medicine. We have to bear that in mind in raising children as well. Let them see you laugh and even laugh at yourself at times when we mess up something doing a project or home. You know, having a good positive attitude is priceless. But then lastly, we want to look at the promise. Notice in our text, it says in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth. Now, look, first this looks like, well, this is only for Israel. Well, let's look a little further. If you look over in the Deuteronomy account of the Ten Commandments in chapter 5, you'll see a little more clear. But let's look at the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. He's referring to the Deuteronomy account. And it's in the New Testament, applicable to you. What a blessing. We want, your parents want a blessing for you. That's why they do what they do. That's why our moms homeschool. They could go get a job and make more money. Maybe have some more things and stuff. But they care about you more than that stuff. So they make the sacrifice because they love you. They want what's best for you. Stuff will, you know, moths eat it and thieves break through and steal and rust corrupts it. One day we'll have to leave all behind. But if you pay attention to what God's word says and you do what your parents say, even to the point of repenting of your sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life, you will be blessed not only in this life, but for all eternity, forever. That's a blessing we want. And that's a promise that God gives. I might be able to sincerely make a promise, I should say, Lord willing, because I don't know. I might get sick and I can't keep the promise, or any number of things can happen. But God doesn't get sick, and God keeps his word. So this is the best promise that you need to take a hold of. And there's so many things. I could say some real negative. Jesus said you'll die the death if you don't honor your parents. There's a promise of the promise of blessing, and the other side of the coin is it won't be well with you. The worst part of the good part of this, or the bad part of this side of it, is that you'll be in hell forever. The good part is that you'll be in heaven forever. And we much would rather have you in heaven forever. To be in paradise forever. To be in a place where there is no pain, no death, no sorrow, no sickness. None of the things that are in this life that are so troublesome to us. I was read something that really kind of surprised me. That Duke Wellington, Prime Minister of Great Britain, in the mid-1800s, said this. When he was asked what impressed him the most about America, he said, the way American parents obey their children. I thought, wow. Now, granted, that was a prime minister who dealt with the leaders of our country. So way back then, there was evidence of our family being led astray by our leaders, because they were doing what their kids say to do. It's been a slow decline in our country. May we be an example. May you children be an example. And you are already in so many ways compared to the world. Keep it up. Go on with Jesus Christ. We're here to help you do that. We want to encourage you to do that. Because that's the most important thing in life. And may we who are doing what we're supposed to do, by the grace of God, have a dogged determination to hold to God's high, holy, and I call it a happy standard. This is a commandment from God who own his commandments are all holy, just, and good. But of course, we understand that he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You know, God has a preeminence in Matthew 10:37. But one day, you'll get married, probably. And you'll leave father and mother, like it says in Genesis 2:24. And your parents will get older. They'll start losing their hair, getting gray, getting wrinkles, don't have the energy and strength we used to have. It'll happen to you too, by the way. It eventually happens. What does the Bible say? And Psalms 27:10, when, not if, my father and mother, or excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm in Proverbs 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. You might have a job when you get older and you're sitting pretty. Don't forget your parents. Don't forget them. You should help to take care of them. Call them. If you're, or go visit them, see them, honor them. It doesn't stop when your children are living under their roof. You need to do that for the rest of your life, even after they're dead and gone, speak well of them. It says in Psalms 27:10, when, not if, my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That's the good news. One day, your parents will die. Mine have already died. Honor them now. So that when they do pass from this life, you'll be stricken with grief because you didn't say some things you should have said, and you didn't do some things you should have done. It'll be too late because they're gone. So may we, may those of you who are children, may you repent and believe and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. May God give you grace to do so and beg God's forgiveness. And may we as parents and grandparents also repent of our sins and be the best examples we can be. Thank you for your attention to the Word of God.